Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program. This is Robert Jaramillo of Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School. And today, Pastor Brian will be continuing his study in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 of a message originally given live at Calvary Chapel La Mirada. Today, Pastor Brian will be concluding the topic of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And he will be speaking on, if we pursue righteousness, we will be satisfied. And so today, let's go ahead and begin our study as Pastor Brian shows us the benefits of pursuing righteousness.
And Colossians chapter 3 gives us some obviously wonderful advice. Verse 1, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth." So we have a mindset for the spiritual realm. I believe that's what Jesus is talking about, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Verse 5, he tells us, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." And he says, put off the old man in verse 9 and put on the new man. And so there's a pursuing after the heavenly thing. That's our passion, rather than the passions that let this body control us and desires for sin. One man described Colossians 3, says it takes a passion to conquer a passion. If you have a passion for the things of God, it'll help you resist the temptation. But if there's no passion for the things of the Lord, the flesh comes in and starts dominates and controls. So you set your mind on things above. It's something that you must purposely do. Set your mind and put your affections there. Let's go back to Matthew 5 and we'll look at the results, and that's where we'll finish. The results of this beatitude. What will happen if you hunger and thirst for righteousness? He didn't say hunger and thirst for joy or happiness. If you want to find joy in life, you hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, Solomon, he said a long time ago, you pursue after riches or wealth or wisdom or power, whatever. It's just, it's vanity's advantage, and he had it all. It's just like grasping the wind. See, happiness isn't a thing that you could achieve and grab. I got it. That's like grasping the wind. You'll never become happy or content or joyful if that's what you're pursuing after. Jesus says you find satisfaction in life by pursuing after righteousness. Because we are created in God's image and likeness, and apart from a relationship with Him, there's an emptiness that's there. Then when we come into Jesus Christ, we don't add Jesus to our life. He's kind of a portion of our life. He is our life. And we're only going to find that real sense of contentment and fullness of joy that Christianity speaks about when Christ is at the very center of our life and we're desiring all that He wants to bring about us, and we're hungering and thirsting for that. And He says, if you will do that, you'll be blessed, which is much more than happiness. It's a joy. It's God's blessing, God's contentment. And it says, you will also be filled. It's a word that we use to fatten up animals. You feed them to the point where, you know, they're getting ready for slaughter and they're satisfied. That's really another way it can be translated. You will be satisfied. See, if you pursue after righteousness and you want the work of God, God's going to touch your life. If you humble yourself and say, God, I don't like this about my life, I can't change it, and I want your righteousness there rather than this sinful conduct, and you press into God and you come to Him hungering and thirsting, He's going to touch your life and He's going to transform you. And you're going to experience a sense, God is working in my life, and there's no greater sense of satisfaction than knowing that the Spirit of God is touching your life and you're walking in His way, in His will. And you'll experience that satisfaction. Just a simple example, you know, well, before I use that, also, I found that, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, when God touches your life, actually you want more of His work. And so there's kind of like a hungering, but there's also a satisfaction at the same time. They're both there. Those both elements are there. And the more God works, the more you want, but at the same time, as God's working in your life, you're experiencing that sense of fulfillment in life. You feel a sense of satisfaction, but you still want more of the goodness of God in your life. I think an easy way to describe it, you know, if you go out to a nice dinner, get this nice steak and lobster, and, whoa, it's just the best meal you've ever had. You've eaten it all, and you're like, oh, I'm satisfied. But you could eat more. You wish you could. Just your belly's not big enough. But, you know, you could still eat some more if you could. That's how it is. When God fills you, you're satisfied, but you still want more. There's a sense of contentment, but also a longing for more of what the Lord's desiring to do. And we never come to that point where we say, I've arrived. Like the Apostle Paul says, I pressed forward to that mark. You know, everything within me, I stretch to get to that mark of why the Lord's apprehended my life. And if you live your life that way, you will find that Christianity is filled with joy. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. You know, you've been around here long enough. I don't preach no easy gospel. There's challenges and difficulties, but you'll have that inner peace. You'll have that contentment. And you know what? We'll see great fruit being born. And you'll have a pastor that's filled with joy as well. See, because I don't get up here because it's Sunday. I don't study, I study for myself, but also for messages, because I want you to grow and prosper in the things of God. And I can't feed people that aren't hungry. If you come in here because it's Sunday and you're not hungry, I really have nothing much to say to you, or at least the ministry is not really going to impact your heart. You need to come here longing for a work of God in your heart and life. And come with your heart prepared for that very thing, to worship the Lord and to get into the Word of God. And as you do that, I believe God will speak to you from the teaching of the Word of God, no matter who's up here. Because it's the Word of God that has power and strength and might. And then I see your lives grow, and that thrills my heart, and that motivates me to study even more and be ready and pray harder and just longing for the work of God. But there's nothing more discouraging for the heart of a pastor when people don't want to grow, but yet they're part of the church. So they just sit there, they just don't really have interest in spiritual things, and it's just like, what's the point? What is the point of that? On my part as well as on the people in the body of Christ. We're here because we want to be serious about God's kingdom. And I pray that that's your heart as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we do come to you this morning, and I pray that there'd be just a great sense of hunger for spiritual things in our life. That no one here this morning would be satisfied with where they're at. Not to the point where the enemy comes in and brings condemnation, but it would create a real longing, a desire. Just as when we get hungry for food and water and we seek that need to be met. May we live in that state before you, Lord, because there's so much more you want to do in our lives. So much more in us and through us. And I pray that would be the heart of this congregation. That'd be my heart continually, Lord God. I want to live in this beatitude till the last breath that's in me. Father, I pray you'd help us to guard against those things that would take away from the hunger. Those things that would cause us to just be content with where we're at, or satisfaction would set in. Lord, we don't want to be like that lukewarm church. We want to be a church that's pliable and moldable in your hands, and one that's in meekness receiving the Word of God, and one that's calling out to you for even more of a work in us and through us. Father, keep us in that state. And Father, I do pray for anyone in here this morning that's never personally received you. They're in need of righteousness, that righteousness which comes by faith and not their own works. I pray you'd open their eyes to their need for Jesus Christ, for his death on the cross to be applied to them, so they truly can receive forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Father, also show them that you're ready to receive them right now, not because of their goodness, but as they come to you humbly, as they come to you poor in spirit, not offering you promises or going to do better or religious deeds they've done, but coming to you empty-handed, ready to receive from you your mercy. Show them that you, Lord God, are ready to receive them through what Jesus Christ has done, that anyone that would come to you in no ways would you cast out. Father, I pray for the backslider. Maybe just through being satisfied and allowing that heart to grow hard towards the things of the Word of God and the things of the Spirit. They've drifted from you, and now they realize that they're far away from you. I pray you would